the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey there, my brewing brothers and sisters. We're here with Bruce Strong, Jamil Zainashev, and my partner here, John Palmer.
Howdy, hey.
Hey, howdy, hey.
It is great to be here again.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're here in the, I'd say the sunny studios in Pacheco, California, but we're actually here in the rainy studios in Pacheco, California.
Yeah, it's kind of odd, you know, sitting here in a puddle of water while, you know, broadcasting.
Actually, now the studios don't have heating, the studios don't have cooling, or they have very weak cooling, but one thing they are is watertight. I see no rain in the studio, and I think that's because of all the electronic equipment that would die.
Well, then why did Chad put this bucket of water under my feet? Well, anyway.
And hand you that toaster.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the one thing I want to mention that I keep forgetting to mention a lot of other shows is that this show is done live. We are live in the studios when we do the show.
Mostly
live. It depends how much we had to drink the night before. And you can join in on the chat room. You go to the www.thebrewingnetwork.com, and there's a chat button there. You click on that. You don't need a password or anything like that. Just enter your name and join in, and there's a bunch of like-minded individuals in there. And
today the chat room's moderated by our lovely Justine.
Yeah, you can ask questions about the topics we're talking about. You can ask other questions, and generally people in the chat room will answer them for you if it has nothing to do with the subject we're talking about. But if you want to join in and get your questions answered there, that's the place to do it, and you can do it live every show. And let's see, you know, while you're there on the Brewing Network site, there's a store there, and you can go in, and a lot of people have already bought stuff from the store, but one thing that is hard to come by, it seems, is the Brewing Network hop grenade shirts, the black hop grenade shirts, which I got mine. I love mine. You see me every event. I tend to wear that thing because I love it so much.
We wore them in Australia.
It's a great shirt. And you can get those in the store. All the sizes are properly updated in the store. You know, go crazy right now and get them because they will sell out. They also have Brewing Classic Styles.
Mm-hmm. That's a great book, by the way.
There you go.
In case you didn't know that.
Now you're with the program. That's in the store as well. And next week, BN Army Glassware.
Yes. Hey, these are sweet glasses. They're like the German half liter style.
Right. I think they're a little larger than that, though. They seem like a good size. And they got the hop grenade on it. It says BN Army on it.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you. I'm stealing this one right here. Now you shouldn't steal glassware from any pubs or bars or anything like that.
But the rat
head? Just ask to buy them, and generally they're like, oh sure, you know, or sometimes they'll just give you one if you ask. But if you steal one, you're a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, here at the Rat Pad, you just take whatever you want. That's not a problem.
leave the money on the table on the way out.
That's how we got it.
Yeah. But
these
are
nice. I like these.
These are really nice glasses.
I'm definitely taking one. Don't tell anybody.
Okay. Hey, Justin, look over there.
I'm having Shat's Tasty Clone, which is like, you know, you have to be totally listening to all the shows and be dialed in to understand what I just said.
Shat-tastic, eh?
It is. It's called Shat-tastic.
Yes.
Self-named.
So, no, you know, if you're just joining in, you have no idea what I'm talking about when I say I'm having Shat's Tasty Clone. They're like, what?
Yeah. Unless they listened to the session last week.
Yeah, you got to listen to all this stuff. You know, last night was Halloween.
Yep.
I got kids. You got kids.
Mm-hmm. I was wearing my armadillo costume.
Seriously?
Yeah. Last year, my wife, of course, asked the kids, what do you want to be this year? My son goes, I want to be an ancient armadillo. And she's going, what? And I thought for a second, I said, Daniel, do you mean a glyptodont? And he goes, yeah, a glyptodont. It's like, okay. So had to get online and find a picture of it for her.
Glyptodon. Yeah, this is Halloween in the Palmer household.
they're that, you know, that ancient South American armadillo with the giant spiked tail.
You didn't have to explain it to me.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't think so, but, you know, Justin, well.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife bought me a Freddy Krueger mask, too, while I was walking around behind. I've got two teenage daughters and invited a bunch of friends, so I got, like, you know, seven or eight teenage girls. I'm stalking around the neighborhood as I'm following. Yeah, I can't be too close. You
right.
know, you don't want to be seen with Dad, necessarily. And actually, my younger daughter, I said, well, you know, I'll hang back, and you guys won't see me. She goes, oh, I don't mind, you know, walking with you. I said, well, you know, what's worse, you know, somebody, you know, walking with your dad, or having somebody following you from a distance that looks like a stalker. And she's like, oh, no, I said, you know, stalker or dad? No, I'd be okay with you. And the funny thing was, we're walking around, and I never really had any problems with, you know, weird houses or weird people in our neighborhood before.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, take the kids to this one house, and I hear the guy, you know, they're all up there, and I'm hanging back a little bit, and I hear the guy's like, oh, just hold on, just 2 seconds, let me get my costume on and show you my costume. It's like some old guy, you know, I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, he's going to, you know, he's like, you know, Mr. This, Happy is going to come out or something.
The one-eared elephant.
You know, and he turns around, and I ran right up there, and I'm like, hey. And then he puts on, like, this Santa hat and this giant nose, and then he goes into this really weird, bizarre, lying Santa routine. And the kids are all looking at him like, this guy's weird. But they're too polite to just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
really, really odd. And then, we're up this house, and some guy was hiding in the bushes. And he's wearing, like, a black outfit, and he's got, like, parts of a juniper plant, like, you know, taped to his head and his arms and stuff, and he's hiding there, and then, you know, he jumps out and scares the kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking,
yeah.
Oh, okay, well, that's all right. You know, they're older kids. He's not scaring the three-year-olds or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we walk on to the next house, and I see, you know, like, some family go up with, you know, a couple of little, you know, really young kids, like they're barely walking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumps out and scares them, and I'm like, oh, what an idiot, you know. He's scaring them. You know, the kids are crying.
Oh,
I'm like, you know, when they're that young, they don't want to be scared like that. You know, older, they can handle it. So we start walking down, and then I see this guy running through the neighborhood. He's like running from house to house and hiding in front of different houses, and I'm thinking, well, this is weird.
Yeah,
you know, I thought when he was at the one house, that was his house, and he's, you know, just, you know, being part of the Halloween spirit. He's going to all these other houses. It's getting a little weird, right?
Yeah.
And I'm watching him, and he's, like, running ahead, and he's trying to, you know, prepare himself to scare my children again. And I'm thinking, dude, this is not right.
Yeah.
And one of the girls says, well, you know, I hope he doesn't, like, touch me or something. I said, look, if he touches you, I'll kill him.
Yeah.
You know, dude, totally not. And the kids were getting freaked out. They're like, well, you know, what's this guy doing? He's like stalking us.
Right.
And so, yeah, the guy comes up, you know, and he's like trying to, you know, run up to the house. I got my 12 LED flashlight in his face. I'm like, look, you know, I said, you know, doing it at your own house is okay. You know, multiple houses and stalking somebody, not okay. I said, you know, and he didn't say a word and just, like, you know, runs off. I'm thinking, you know, this is, you know, somebody who's going to lock somebody in his basement eventually.
Yeah. So did you chase him down later? Or?
No, just Damn. Let him go. I figured, you know, the news people need something to, you know.
Yeah. But that is the kind of, thing that makes me uncomfortable at Halloween.
I think Justin's going to talk about how he did this when he was younger. And
I just wanted you to know I was in this house all night.
It wasn't you?
I spent Halloween with my mother, and I was here. So I have an alibi.
Got an alibi. Okay,
Shuman, on the other hand, did leave for about 3 hours, and I don't know where he went.
I'm thinking, you know, and the look on his face, he didn't say a word.
Right.
You know, and he was just, you know, he's probably in his mid-20s.
Probably thought he was invisible.
Really, really strange. Really, really strange. So, I took what was a happy story and turned it into a very sad story now. Kids had a great time. If you're some nut job out there trying to, do weird things, the kids were like, well, is he like a child molester? Is he going to, capture one of us? My daughter was like, the younger daughter was freaking out about the whole thing. I'm like, don't worry. Yeah, it comes around, I'll get rid of them.
Don't worry, I've been captured before. Look how I turned out. It's fine, kids.
Captured and abused, no problem. But, Halloween, I've been taking the kids around since they could, first went around, and I do it every year, and, it's a big thing for me, taking the kids around. I love that sort of thing.
Did anybody on your street do up the big haunted house and so on?
No, a neighbor across the street puts on a lot of decorations. There's, within a block or two, there's a couple of haunted houses with the graveyard built in the front yard.
Right.
And
Push does
all
that.
The sounds and stuff. Oh, I imagine he probably puts juniper bushes on his head and hides out in the plants, too.
Our neighbor had a big one, too. And
your neighbor's got a big one?
I mean, yes, backyard thing. Where he started building it in August.
Yeah.
And so he had 20 friends and neighbors manning the thing in the backyard. If you wanted to take little kids through, they'd give them a glow stick to hold on to, so everybody along the way would know. And then they call in the walkie talkie heads, like, okay, I got 5 chickens coming through. And you take the smaller kids through. And that way it was just like, the puffs of air and the music and so on, but nobody's leaping out at them. So they thought it was cool. It was scary, but they thought it was cool afterwards.
Huh. I say it's not a haunted house if you don't piss yourself. You shouldn't have gone easy on those kids. My best memories are the haunted houses that I never, ever wanted to go back to. Like, at that time, you're scared as hell, but in hindsight, it's just kind of cool,
Yeah.
It might take him a few years to get over it, but...
So, you got that guy at the end there holding up the 12-pack of Bud Light.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Drink.
Scary.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's good to be back. We've been gone quite a while. Justin had, all his events and Oktoberfest and GABF. You and I had events we were jetting off to, and... It's kind of that season where everybody couldn't be in the studio for a couple of months.
Yeah.
So, we got a whole bunch of shows done early on, and those have been posting. And now we're finally back live, and it's just great to be here.
Yeah, better than ever, stronger, faster.
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, anyway.
I'm a little fatter, slower, probably a little stupider after getting drunk a few times, killing off some brain cells. That's probably how it goes. Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about cleaning. That's going to be our big thing, cleaning. Yep. and what that means in brewing and not sanitizing necessarily, but cleaning. I think a lot of people don't appreciate how aspect this is.
Very important first step, in the whole brewing process. You got to be clean. You got to be clean before you can be sanitized.
Yeah. And right after the break, we are going to be back with our industry expert, which is John from Five Star, and he'll be with us right after this.
Strong. This is Brew Strong.
Will Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP-001, Cal Ale, baby!
23, Burton Ale.
008, East Coast Ale.
Cal Common, WLP-810.
It's gonna be WLP-400 with beer!
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
Network.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the beer world. Except for that nut thing.
This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking cleaning as it applies to brewing. And our expert with us today is John Herskovitz from Five Star Chemical Company. And John, welcome to Brew Strong.
Thank you. It's good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing great. It's wonderful to be in the studio, and we're enjoying some Shatastic.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So, John, one of the things about cleaning, I think a lot of people don't appreciate is, you know, how important it is, and I wanted to kind of get into, you know, usually what we do is define what we're talking about, and I think everyone assumes they know what cleaning means. You know, go clean your room, go, you know, clean the dishes, whatever. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, okay, so you scrape off the nasty stuff and, you know, give it a rinse and you're done, right? So
sure.
I wanted to ask you to kind of explain to the listeners, you know, why cleaning is so important in brewing. You know, can I just get rid of the stuff I see and then I'm ready, you know, hit it with some sanitizer, I'm done?
That's cleaning is, you're absolutely correct. Cleaning is the number one most important thing that you should do when you're preparing to brew. If you do not, you can spend all this time and energy in brewing your beer, and you screw up. And you bring up a good point. Can I just use a sponge? Can I scrub off the stuff that I can see and then hit it with a sanitizer and call it good? And you can. But that's a risk that you're going to have to take because there's bacteria that can grow and live in the cracks and crevices and the plastic, glass, stainless. They look smooth, but there's crevices in there, and there's the surface isn't as smooth as it looks. And so just hitting it with straight water isn't necessarily going to do it. You're going to need something that gets down in the cracks, and you got to get all the various different types of soil that gets produced when you make beer. So if you don't use the right chemicals to clean it properly, then you could have leftover residual that will inactivate the sanitizer that you might use. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think, not to belabor the point, but, I would think, proper cleaning without sanitizing is probably more effective than proper sanitizing without cleaning.
I would agree. There's the old thing that brewers used to do is just use straight caustic just to remove it, because cleaning physically removes the soil and the bacteria. Sanitizing kills. Okay, but if you have bacteria and any dirt and residue in there, it could inactivate some of the sanitizer that you're going to use. So,
I guess you can get bacteria underneath, soils and residue that would
exactly.
that wouldn't see the sanitizer, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's exactly the point. Is it'll hide the bacteria. The bacteria can live underneath any dirt that happens to be on the surface.
Now, you're talking, all right, so we can't just rinse it off, and we can't just scrape it off by physical means. Certainly that helps, if you get rid of the majority of crud with, say, a carboy brush or something like that, or a sponge. That helps your cleaners that you're going to use. But, isn't there just like a one-stop, cleaner, sanitizer I can just pour in there and be done with it? Why doesn't somebody make something like that?
Why doesn't someone make something like that? A lot of people claim they make something like that. The reason is pure chemistry. You must first clean and then sanitize. You cannot clean and sanitize in the same step. By definition, you just can't do it. Sanitization means to kill the bacteria, and EPA's definition is you must sanitize on a pre-clean surface. So I know a lot of people use iodine, for example, and they think that it's a good cleaner, and it'll clean and remove some stuff, but then you've got to remove the dirt and then try to clean it. It's always a two-step process. I don't care what you do. Even if you try to clean with bleach and then you try to sanitize with bleach, you always have to do a two-step process. You got to remove the dirt, because in beer making, you make different types of soils, okay? You make organic soil and inorganic soil. The organic soil is, of course, from your grain, your sugars, and that you need an alkali to break down and remove, okay? And then you also create inorganic soils. That would be metals, calcium, magnesium, anything that comes from the hard water and precipitates out. Well, those things take different chemistry to remove them. And if you have both of those, and you always will have both of those in your container, carboy, whatever you're trying to clean. So if you take a sponge, that does a good job of removing the physical stuff, but it doesn't always get everything. So I recommend using a good alkali first. Even if you are just going to scrub it, spray it with or hit it with a good alkali that's going to remove the organic soils, and then rinse it up. And when you go to scrub, your job will be a lot easier because you've used that detergent or an alkali.
John, I got a question. How would you define a cleaner chemically? I mean, is an alkali by definition a cleaner, or a cleaner by definition an alkali?
Well, there's both acid-based cleaners and caustic alkaline cleaners. I would say you got acid side and base side. When most people think of a cleaner, they think of a detergent. And you also have the neither one, which something would be just be like a surfactant or just a straight detergent. But I define in the brewing business, especially for home brewers, there's two different types of cleaners. You got your alkaline cleaners and your acid cleaners. The alkaline, of course, is designed for removing the organic soils, and the acid is designed for removing inorganic soils. Does that answer the question?
I think so. You also mentioned surfactants and detergents. I mean, how do these terms relate?
Surfactant technically stands for surface activation agent. Basically, it's the bubbles. My my explanation. I explain it to my wife all the time. She says, "What is that?" I say, "It's." she doesn't like it when I talk too chemically in depth. But
what women never believe we can clean anything. Yeah.
Well, that's true. Technically, a surfactant makes water wetter. Okay, so the surface isn't necessarily flat. There's divots in it. Well, water may not get down into that little crevice.
Due to surface tension and so on, right?
Exactly. And so you use a surfactant, which breaks the surface tension and allows it to go in there.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
I think so.
So, you know, don't be afraid to... you know, mention any five-star products that you think are good for the steps involved. It's all right. It's not a show for five-star, but I think we all tend to use your products, or you know, many of us tend to use your products anyway. So it's okay if you mention PBW or something like that. I mention all the time. I use that as my cleaning step. Is that the best product that I should be using for my cleaning step?
Plain and simple, PBW Star Sand. That's the way to go. I mean, if you don't like the foam of Star Sand, you can use SantaClean. But as far as cleaners are concerned, I prefer PBW over everything out there on the market today. It actually it's majority what we sell into the brewing businesses or the craft brewers as well, because of all of its wonderful benefits. It does everything you need as far as removing the organic soils. When I talk to guys and give interviews, I don't necessarily like to, because they think, well, all you're trying to do is hawk your product, and it's no. I personally, when I brew, it's what I use, and I could use caustic. I have all these chemicals available to me, and I use PBW because it's the best, it's the safest. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I, you know, when people are thinking about cleaners, is that there's a lot of different things as far as soil chemistry to remove. And when you're physically going to remove the dirt, a lot of these guys think that they can just use a sponge, or maybe they're going to soak it in hot water. If you add a little bit of, say, PBW to your solution, it makes your job a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. Okay? This section of the show is about cleaning. So let me tell you time, temperature, concentration, agitation. Okay, my three big T's, but then I always throw in my A for agitation.
So you like a T and A? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just a little T and A, you know. But that's it. If the more time the chemical sees the stuff, PBW, if you give it more time to soak, if you let it soak overnight, you're not going to need to agitate it. You're mm-hmm. just going to hit it with a quick rinse, and it immediately will wash it all off. Last week we were in Australia?
Seems like, yeah
sometime around.
Gosh, I can't remember. I haven't slept in a week. I'm still on their time.
Same here.
The number one question I was getting was, well, you know, I just scrub and scrub and scrub. Why do I need to use the PBW? And I said, well, you try using PBW, and I guarantee you won't have to scrub as hard.
Okay, well, John, let me ask a question here.
Yeah.
How would you compare and contrast PBW to, say, you know, dishwashing detergent like Dawn, Arm & Hammer washing soda, OxyClean. I mean, you know, there's so many different cleaning products readily available at the grocery store. What are these products, good kind of soils are these products good for? And where does PBW come into the picture for us brewers?
Dawn dishwashing detergent is just a surfactant. There is no alkalinity in there. So all it only does its job by emulsifying, okay? Arm & Hammer baking soda is basically sodium bicarbonate.
Well, I mean, the washing soda? I guess it's like...
Okay, the washing soda and, like, OxyClean, those have sodium percarbonate in them and soda ash, sodium carbonate. That's washing soda, is soda ash.
Okay.
Those are alkaline, but a lot of times they're missing your surfactants, okay? So they work by saponifying, kind of in the same principle as caustic would do, sodium hydroxide or caustic, but they don't necessarily have the surfactants. And the one thing that every single one of those products is missing is a chelator.
Okay.
And that's the one thing that that PBW specifically has. PBW is designed with a surfactant package that works at a wide range of temperatures. It'll work in cold water. It, of course, works better in hot water. It's specifically designed for the brewing soils that you guys produce. The alkalinity is meant to make the job work. There's enough in there, and then of course it has the oxygen, the same thing that, say, OxyClean has. OxyClean is sodium percarbonate.
Okay.
And so it has that in there as well as the chelation. Chelation is very important that a lot of people overlook, and that suspends the hard water and may make so that you don't have to hit it with an acid later to get rid of, say, those inorganics.
Does and it, also so a chelator functions as a water softener?
Yes. That's one way of looking at it.
Okay.
All right, so I've got some questions on the time, temperature, concentration. I believe that's also very important, that people either use way too much, they figure a little bit is good, more is even better, or they're trying to save, you know, 2 cents on a $30 batch of beer, and, you know, they're skimping and saving. So when we come back from the break, what I want to do is get into some of those questions for you. I'll tell you what I do in my sanitizing, and maybe you can tell me if I'm doing the right thing or going wrong. Back after this.
Keep your carboy cap on.
This is Brew Strong.
We'll be right back.
What's good for the earth, good for your body, and great for your brew? Organic ingredients. This holiday season, the organic ingredient experts, Seven Bridges Co-op in awesome Santa Cruz, California, offers you the gift that keeps on giving to our planet. Sustainable, fair wage ingredients to make the best organic homebrew you've ever had. There's a growing demand for organic products, and your choice to brew with them supports organic farmers worldwide. Brew organic, and you'll brew excellent beer that is free from chemical residues and genetically modified organisms, and you'll help contribute to a better world. If you're looking for organic ingredients, Seven Bridges offers a huge selection of USDA-certified kits and raw ingredients from 8 ounces to 50-pound sacks of grain, whole and pellet hops, and all the equipment you need. Seven Bridges, the organic homebrew expert since 1997. Visit www.breworganic.com. Attention homebrew shop owners at Fermentap. They know you're tired of buying the same old gear that everyone else has. That's why Fermentap offers the newest and most cutting-edge brewing equipment known to man. Since 1998, Fermentap has been leading the fight against the boring and mundane by offering strange, unique, and just plain smart equipment. Like their stainless-domed false bottoms. Never deal with the floating plastic hassle of other false bottoms again. And since they're made from stainless steel, they'll last a lifetime. Fermentap's line of copper wort chillers are the best on the market, designed to cool your wort faster and more efficiently than other immersion chillers. They actually invented the equipment to make these chillers not only work great, but look great too. How about a fantastic line of ingredients, including vanilla beans, sorghum extract, blue agave extract, hop bitterness extract, unique wine yeasts, green coffee beans, sake kits, all stuff you can't find anywhere else. Fermentap carries all the standard products and equipment you need as well, such as all-grain systems, stainless hardware, kettles, carbonation stones, you name it, they've got it. Fermentap's entire line of products has been helping retail shops meet the demands of their customers for nearly 10 years, and they want to help you too. For more information, see them on the web at Fermentap.com or call Jason at 1-800-942-2750. Fermentap, better beer through innovation.
Did you know that every day a brewcaster goes to bed hungry? Did you know that that brewcaster is silently calling for the help of people just like you? Do you know that every day the unicorn and the rainbow have to blow sailors for loose change? For less than the cost of a half-calf, quad-shot, venti, extra-hot soy milk, triple-pump, hazel, low-fat foam, double-cupped macchiato a day, you can help starving adults in Pacheco. Your love can be felt for as little as 7 cents a day. Visit thebrewingnetwork.com/donate to sign up today for as little as $2 a month. Private first class in the BN Army. Buy your way up the ranks as corporal, sergeant, ranger, or colonel with an easy-to-do monthly donation that keeps brewcasters alive and your favorite internet radio station broadcasting. No donation is too small to help those in need. Can't you find it in your heart to share your love with a brewcaster? In return, you will enjoy the wealth of knowledge that comes with every episode of The Session, The Jameel Show, and yes, even that other show. Thank you for listening, and please sign up for your donation at thebrewingnetwork.com/donate today.
You're listening to The Brewing Network.
Back to your hosts, Jameel Zainasheff and John Palmer. Putting the testicles in technical. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. This is Brew Strong, and we are speaking with John Herskovitz from the Five Star Chemical Company.
Yep.
And we're getting down and dirty with cleaning.
That's right. This is like dirty jobs. Brewing Network style.
Yeah. So John, we were talking about, before we went to break, about time, temperature, concentration. I know, one of the things that you advocate is not using too much. You know, you don't want to use too little, but, you know, you can overdo it, too, and that doesn't help things either, does it?
No. Using too much chemicals does not help. My best advice is read the instructions. Always follow the instructions and don't overthink it.
And measure. Right?
Yes.
Use a measured scoop or weigh it. Or at PBW, you can do the volume and the weight are the same, right? So 1 ounce by volume is the same as 1 ounce by weight. Is that true?
Yeah, primarily.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Close enough.
So you can measure it either way, even. You make it very convenient.
I never measure.
Yes.
Do I really? I mean this.
You
do
need
I
to
really
measure.
Need to measure?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
Well, so John, tell them why you don't want to use too much or too little.
Too much chemical, well, the number one reason that comes to mind is you're wasting money. But if you use too much, especially, say, a sanitizer, if you use way too much of a sanitizer, you might not be in the no-rinse category anymore, and that could be harmful to you or to your beer. So that is the number one reason is safety. Number two reason would be money. Number three, some of these chemicals are specifically designed to work at the concentrations with the water. And so by overusing the chemicals, you throw them out of where they need to be.
Right. So, and if you were to just, let's give an extreme example here. If you pour dry PBW on your equipment, probably not cleaning it very well. You're using the highest concentration possible, not doing a whole lot to help you.
No. I can think of so many things to do with dried PBW, but putting it on your brewing equipment is not one of them.
Sprinkle it on the cornflakes?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that either.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so time and temperature and concentration. So, I measure my PBW, and then I use glass carboys mainly for what I do. And what I find, like you mentioned earlier, is if I just put a little PBW and some tap water in that thing, fill it up to the top, and I leave it set for a couple of days, and when I come back, I just swirl the liquid around, pour it out, maybe swirl the carboy brush in there, and it's just spotless. And then lots of rinsing, and I'm good to go. It's about as easy as it gets. So that tends to be probably around anywhere from 60 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit that I'm doing this. Temperature though plays a big role in how effective the cleaning solution you're using is, right?
Correct. PBW, if you would heat that up to, say, 120 degrees, hot water, between 120, 140, which is your hot water heater at home, probably gets up to at least that, right around that range, that would make it in its ideal range, and it would work so much better. It doesn't need it. Obviously, you're finding really good success at just regular tap water, 60 degrees cold water. It will work there, but if you increase the temperature, it excites the molecules, and it'll work faster. You wouldn't need to let it sit. But most home brewers, I hate to say it, but they're lazy.
Oh, yeah, especially me.
Well, yeah.
Well, and I'm using glass, so, you know, shooting in the hot water kind of frightens me a little bit. So that's why I've been using the room temp. Now, you say there's the ideal range, 120 to 140 Fahrenheit. Is there harm in going past that? If I go with, let's say I go with boiling water, 212 or Fahrenheit or 100 degrees C, is that helping or is it harming the action?
And that'll harm you. Do not use it above 180 degrees F.
And why is that?
Number one, surfactants can come out of solution. And that's the main reason that comes to mind is you may get some goo sticking to the side that you'd have to probably use a PBW in its ideal range to pull it out. The chemical would split.
Justin, do you want to talk about goo sticking to your side? Or
no, thank you.
Okay. Is that how you do it, Justin?
That's how I do everything. Yeah,
so the man knows goo.
So does PBW or these other, you know, carbonates, percarbonate cleaners, do they depend on temperature to any extent for rinsing?
Percarbonates, a hot water rinse is normally better. It depends. Sodium is the real problem. And remember when I was mentioned chelation?
Right.
Usually, if you have a chelator in there, it makes rinsing with cold water easier. That's one advantage that PBW has over some other things, is that you can rinse with cold water, and it does a good job. That's one thing you said earlier, Jamil, is that you rinse with lots and lots of water. You shouldn't have to. You should be able to do a quick rinse with cold water with PBW.
I'm anal.
Well, that's okay. We won't hold that against you. But rinsing is fine. You know, it's just extra water.
Right.
Are you guys in a drought?
Always.
I think we're always in a drought, aren't we?
One of the things that so I also use PBW when I'm cleaning my kegs, and I use that hot water from the water heater, like you're saying. Probably comes out about 130 degrees Fahrenheit, and I'll mix up, a scoop of PBW. In my kegs with the 130 degree Fahrenheit water, and sure. I fill it to the top. I'll let that sit there a good 30 minutes. I'll agitate it with a brush, and then I'll use that solution in the next keg. I'll use it probably for two, maybe three kegs. Does a really good job. One thing that I found though is if I try and rinse that 130 degree Fahrenheit keg with some cold water, I think I'm getting some sort of scale that's forming. So what I found is I need to rinse with hot water in that case. Is that...
That makes... Sure.
Is that what's happening to me? Because a couple of my kegs, you know, when I did that with cold water, I think I developed a scale in there that was difficult to remove.
That could be hard water deposits coming out. And then,
right,
because
I have a fairly hard water. Yeah. And so it's taking that calcium out of the water, and it's depositing it somehow with the because of the chemical action there?
Yeah, it's the same thing that you get on your shower head. You get hard water deposits on your shower.
Calcium carbonate.
And that's because of the hot cleaning and then the cold rinse. And if I do a hot rinse, the same temperature that I cleaned with,
you won't have that problem.
That problem goes away.
Yeah. But if you had a clean or a cold wash, you could rinse with cold water.
Right, like in my carboys. So
correct.
I just take tap water after that and fill it up, scrub it again, and I figure more mechanical action can't hurt, and go from there.
Yep.
Okay.
Sounds like you're doing a good job.
And now we're kind of getting into concentration and time and temperature. One other thing, you know, how do you, and maybe this sounds simplistic, but, you know, I think one of the ways to better brewing is thinking about the steps that you're doing. Now, here's one thing that, I think, some people out there might be adding, water to their cleaner or their sanitizer? Is it better to add, and others are doing the opposite, they're adding their cleaner sanitizer to water. Is one better than the other? Is there some way that you should do that that's the ideal route, and why is that?
Safety. Yes. The answer is yes, there is one that's better. You always, always, always add your chemicals, whatever it is, whether it's a sanitizer or a cleaner, to water, okay? And that's just pure safety. Chemicals have a tendency, you guys don't really deal with caustic soda, at least I hope you don't, or really nasty acids like sulfuric, or strong concentrations of sulfuric or hydrochloric.
Just hydrofluoric, but, yeah.
You use hydrochloric, some muriatic?
Hydrofluoric, sulfuric, nitric. I use them all.
You're crazy.
but it worked, not in brewing.
Okay. Those chemicals have a tendency of jumping back at you. If you would take a pot of, you poured in your sulfuric acid or something into the thing and it took water and dumped it on top, it would jump back at you and it'd take a violent reaction. So you always add the chemicals to your water, and it's just a pure safety reason. Another convenience, maybe you guys have tried it once with Star Sand, but foam. If you have a carboy and you add Star Sand, which is a high foamer, to a carboy, and then you start adding water on top of it, you might be lucky to get it half filled with water because you're going to have foam coming out the top. If you add the water first, fill it up, and then add the Star Sand on top, you won't have any foam at all. So that's just true. A convenience factor of foam.
Okay, yeah.
But the foam, I just want to point out real quick, too, the foam is also a sanitizer, right? Not just the water solution.
Correct.
Okay. So a little foam isn't too bad.
Yeah, don't fear foam.
Yeah.
No. In Star Sand specifically, a lot of guys put a little bit. They don't do a whole 5-gallon carboy. They put in a little bit, enough for maybe a gallon. They swirl it around because they don't want to waste water, and they shake it up and get the foam up in there, and it wicks in, and it does a great job of killing whatever bugs happen to be left in there. So that's a wonderful. That's one of the main reasons why you want to use Star Sand.
Now, one question that we've been asked is. That the listeners have asked is, what's the effect of this PBW or caustic cleaners or any cleaner that we might use on different types of materials? So we're assuming in glass you could pretty much leave it forever, and other than stuff dropping out of solution and depositing on the bottom, there's not going to be any real harm to the glass. But is that true for, say, plastic, different types of plastic? There's the HDPE, and there's,
polycarbonate.
Polycarbonate, like the Better Bottle, right? That's polycarbonate.
Right.
And,
yep.
Metals, different grades of stainless.
Mm-hmm.
Aluminum, sometimes people use aluminum pots. Yeah. Brass, stuff like
brass,
that.
Brass, copper.
Can you speak to that?
Well, let's take PBW first. PBW and glass, you're absolutely correct, is fine, other than hard stuff falling out of solution. PBW and plastic is not going to harm the plastic at all, at least, normal concentration, 1 ounce in a gallon of water, you probably could leave it in there for well over a year. The environment, the natural UV light is going to break it down more than the PBW ever would. And that goes to the full range of plastics. The stainless, water by itself, as long as it, DI water won't harm it, but water, tap water has electrolytes, heavy metals in it, and that over long periods of time can actually corrode the stainless. John, you probably could talk to this better than I could, but stainless, I mean, even water can be corrosive.
Yeah, that's right, especially when you get soils or something on the stainless in one spot, then you can get edge corrosion, crevice corrosion around the perimeter.
Or if you leave the piece, half in, half out of the solution, that's going to be probably one of your worst. I see activity on the air-water interface, very quickly. Within, a day or two, you can start to see pitting of most stainless.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, PBW is the safest one out there. So it's not going like chlorine or bleach would definitely pit it. But PBW is a very safe product, and I've left it in my stainless carboy for a week, and I never noticed any difference. I've never left it in longer than that. I don't know what the time difference is, how long someone wants to keep the product. Obviously, after the first 24 hours, you've lost the oxygen, but you still have the alkalinity, the surfactant, the chelation. So I've known people to try to reuse product for periods of time. But if you're going to store it, it's definitely stored in plastic or glass for the safety of the stainless.
Okay.
Star sand's the same thing. Safe on glass, safe on plastic, and the same reason on the stainless. Now, that one, though, I've left Star Sand. I left a solution of Star Sand in one of my carboy or corny kegs. Oh, geez, 6 months.
Yeah.
And no problem whatsoever. And so people ask the question, how long is it? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. It's probably safer to have it in Star Sand because it's acid than being straight water. But over periods of time, it could corrode just like the water could.
Yeah, okay. How does softer metals like copper and brass do in PBW and Star Sand?
Copper, brass are wonderful. PBW is fine on them. With PBW, be careful with Teflon. Okay, that's the number one thing. My wife got mad at me once. I cleaned some Teflon-coated pots with it, and it pulled the Teflon right off. So with PBW, the only thing is watch out for Teflon. But it's safe on copper. If you don't want to take my word for it, take some copper pennies and clean them up. It does a great job. Same thing with Star Sand. Star Sand will shine up that copper real nice. It won't hurt the copper. Brass is a little bit softer. And so I'd be a little bit careful with, say, a brass pot.
Okay, well. What about, I mean, you know, in Star Sand, I guess you got phosphoric acid as the carrier.
Yeah.
And, but, so, I think in, well, the copper penny case, you know, you're going to dissolve off your surface oxides there. But PBW, on the other hand, being an alkali, it's not going to be dissolving off oxides. It's going to be more of a organic soil and chelation in terms of, I guess, in terms of brightening copper, right?
Well, PBW brightening copper may take a long time. It may even be whenever I've done it, I've dropped it in there and then pulled it out, and then I've always gone and rinsed it off and then dropped it in some Star Sand. I think it's the phosphoric acid that's shining it up.
Okay.
I know it is. PBW probably doesn't shine it, but it will clean it. And that probably leads into a question. I know you guys curious. I'm assuming you use copper pipes for, say, chillers?
Right, right.
Yeah. And PBW will clean those up. And people get a little scared with using it. PBW is fine.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
I think a lot of us have, you know, especially in the chiller, you know, a lot of us have immersion chillers, which, you know, you can see how the chiller looks when it comes out of the cleaner and sanitizer. It looks nice and bright and shiny. But for people with counterflow chillers, where, you know, the copper's inside and the beer's going inside, you know, you really can't see. And so I think a lot of people are curious about what's going on inside the tube. I also use like the Blickman Therminator, which is, you know, braised stainless steel plates using pure copper as the brazing material between them. And people have often asked me about how to clean those, and I usually go with my standard method, which is PBW and Star Sand. But I always caution them never to store counterflow chillers and Therminators and other, you know, brazed plate chillers. Never to store them wet, to always drain them and store them dry. I guess from what I'm hearing, what you're saying is PBW is probably, you know, fairly benign to these materials, but you wouldn't recommend storing them with PBW solution in them, would you?
No.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Fly went down through there.
Yeah. Well, those flies from Australia that are really persistent.
Do be careful with aluminum.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
do be careful with aluminum. Aluminum is very soft, and I think PBW over long, say over 24 hours, could hurt it. Because that's one that I would watch out for.
Well, and here's probably the big question. Now that John brought up counterflow chillers, that I think of anything that people wonder about is, you know, how effective, you know, running cleaning solution through a counterflow chiller can be.
Oh yeah, and, with a pump or
you know,
something.
Yeah, you know, so you know, reversing the direction of flow, things like that. You know, time and contact and temperature, and even so, you know, a lot of people say, "Hey, you know, I did this, you know, practice that should have. Everyone says should have cleaned my chiller, and then you know, I ran some PBW through it, and now it came all this snotty gunk." You know, this is one of the reasons I don't use a counterflow chiller myself, just because I can't see that thing is clean inside.
Counterflow chillers, and even in large breweries where they use the plates and big heat exchangers, it's the number one cause of, or the number one area for infection, because they are so difficult to clean and sanitize properly. With the counterflow chillers, the coil, there could be blind spots. If you run the fluid through too fast, you could get a blind spot where all the liquid sticks to the outside and you're not actually touching the inside of the metal or the inside of the bend. Right?
Well, that's an excellent point. So the speed at which you're pushing the cleaner through that can have an effect on whether it reaches all the nooks and crannies or not.
Absolutely. Remember flow. Flow's our friend, and I'm not talking about a lady.
a dude who dresses up like a lady?
There you go. put the try to run the flow through slow, and vary, if you can, vary the speed at which you put it through. And, in fact, try to even flow it through backwards. Okay, try to hook up, you know, normally your outlet. See if you can flip it around and pump or press the cleaning solution through the bottom and have it come out the top. One of the things I recommend at the breweries with their heat exchangers is to start the flow, go through, and slowly start restricting the flow on the outlet side. By restricting the flow on the outlet side, you change obviously the flow inside and you build up pressure and that causes it to climb up the plates or press into the areas in which you may have been missing before and then just clamp it off and let it sit for a period of time.
So, okay, so throttle your flow at the output.
Yeah, and, yes. And going through the other hole and change up the tempo.
Go through the other hole. Press at the bottom till it comes out the top.
And remember to constrict it at some point.
Squeeze it.
Keeping this clean, guys. This is cleaning.
This is cleaning. Yeah. This is as clean as we get.
Oh, you.
We're bad. I know.
I'm sorry.
Well, at least you're laughing. Here.
Oh, my head's in the wrong place right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you. It's not us. We're just repeating what you're saying. That's all.
Well, when you repeat it back to me, it sounds so nasty.
Maybe you ought to clean up your act, John.
I really need to. Yeah. Let's see. Restricting the flow, making sure you got to remember, cleaners can only clean what they can see. Okay,
right.
And I'm talking in the liquid. Okay, these things don't generate gases, or PBW and star sand are not generating a gas. Mm-hmm. So it's only what it touches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, keep that in mind. Stop, slow down, and think. Have I contacted every surface? Is it clean? PBW does a fantastic job of removing stuff inside those copper counterflow chillers. I don't care what people were using before. The first time they used PBW, they swear it was clean before they even put the PBW in there, and solutions come out. Or the cleanest normally is a green. Sometimes they're brown and junk coming out.
Right.
That has been growing in these things for a long time.
Well, I think one of the misconceptions, people are thinking, oh, it's eating away my chiller. No, it's all the crud you've been pumping through your chiller that's been in there. If you clean it regularly, you wouldn't get all this schnot coming out of it. Yeah.
Now, John, how much time is too much contact time? You know, is there a guideline here? I mean, people assume that you know, if 1 hour is good, then 1 week or 1 month is better. But
too much time, you know, there's no reason to leave something in longer than a week. 24 hours normally does the job, but I've heard of some really nasty stuff where people don't clean their equipment for 6 months. They just ran the beer through it. They didn't even follow it up with water. Well, you know, I do a pretty good job, but I can't work miracles.
Okay.
And so 24 hours, you may need to run it off and on. You may need to do some other things to get these things clean. So I can't say there's a magic number of what's the optimum. Most cleaning can be done in 5 minutes to 30 minutes, okay, depending upon what you're doing. If you're soaking it, if you're flowing it through. I can't see any reason, though, to leave it in over 24 hours. Some guys get a little crazy and want to go all the way up to a week, but over a week, I mean, come on, why?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where I was going with it, too, because, I mean, you know, corrosion-wise, I would not recommend soaking it more than a day or so, just because you start increasing the risk for corrosion. Especially in, you know, in
just because of the water.
Yeah, because of the water. Well, no. And I think with PBW, you have more electrolyte in the water, so it's chemically more active, even though it's not, you know, it's not directly attacking the stainless, but or the copper, but you give it time.
Well, and if you have scratches in your metal as well, exposing something that's not protected by an oxidized layer.
Right, you know, crevices by different metal couplings. Where you set up a galvanic reaction.
After 24 hours, all the oxygen is gone.
Okay.
Because PBW releases oxygen. That's the percarbonate that's in the product. And it reacts with the carbonates in solution and has a synergistic effect that increases the cleaning. That's all gone after 24 hours. The only thing after 24 hours that you're left with is alkalinity, chelation, And the chelation is probably chelating the heavy metals and could start to disappear too. So it's primarily alkalinity and surfactants.
Okay. The other question I thought of is, let's say you have like, you know, this chiller that hasn't been cleaned in months, you know, or put away dirty. Is there a soil load such that where you would, you know, put some PBW into the chiller, let it soak for an hour or a day? And then would want to dump that and put in fresh solution and soak it again. I mean, is there going to be an advantage to you know, hitting it twice with fresh solution in terms of the soil load? Okay.
Of course, the you can use up the bullets in the gun, if that's an analogy I can make.
Okay.
You know, eventually, yes, you can. You will use it up, and so if you say soak it in overnight for 24 hours, you rinse it or refresh the solution, dump it, put in new stuff. Of course, you're gonna get whatever the other stuff couldn't get.
Okay,
because you got sometimes you take the stuff off in layers.
Yeah. Okay, so one bullet's good, three bullets are better.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually. As long as people remember 1 ounce per gallon, one of the things Jamil said, don't overuse it.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a metric equivalent for our Australian listeners?
Oh, probably. I got to think here. Let's see. I believe 1 ounce is roughly 30 mils. One fluid ounce is 30 mils, 29.5 mil. I'm pulling off the top of my head. 29.5 mils. And so PBW, 1 ounce in a gallon of water would be roughly 30 mils or
3.78 liters.
Yeah. And then to 20 liters, sorry. And then 5 gallons is what, 20-something liters, 20 liters?
19, so, roughly.
19, okay. Yeah, that's close enough.
Uh-huh.
And if it's 1 ounce, I think it would be roughly, 5 mils per liter?
Yeah, so 30 mils.
I don't know if I did my math right or not.
So if you're talking about
30 mils
28 grams mils. Per gallon, then and you're talking about four. So four, if you're talking...
Cell. 7 milliliters per liter.
Seven grams per liter.
Yeah, yeah.
So in 20 so, or
yeah,
140
yeah,
grams.
Yeah, the number
per,
I had off the top of my head was 5.
Okay.
Because I was rounding, but 7 sounds more close or more exact.
Okay. All these small noises that you. I think you got it that time.
Jeez, Camille's in here killing flies. Pacheco flies are nasty, man.
They're like Melbourne flies.
Well, they all came in out of the rain, I think, is what happened.
John, we're trying so hard to pay attention to you, and flies are landing on our nose as we are doing this.
As long as they don't land on the beer, that's what started it all. One of them tried to get in my beer. I told him to spit it out, and he wouldn't, so they're dying. All right, we need to get to our chat room and answer their questions. We got a lot of people listening live, and when we do that, hopefully, John, you can stick around with us, and
sure.
We'll be back right after this.
Smart. Brew strong. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, Push, the new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of 13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of 25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The More Beer deal of the day.
Announcing the Beer, Beer, and More Beer deal of the day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kettles, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess.
The More Beer deal of the day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something.
Find the More Beer deal of the day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brew pub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brew pub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous Watermelon Wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way.
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks. I just failed versus oxidation. Our party is fracked. Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss.
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, strizzle, spalt, and fart Y-East 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
This is www.thebrewersnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. We're talking cleaning. Cleaning, not necessarily sanitation. Cleaning being actually probably more important than sanitation.
Yeah,
I think
paramount.
That's the thing that people miss. They think, well, I'm sanitizing, and then they get these infected beers. And it's like, well, I think the old adage that, sanitization is everything in brewing, I think actually cleaning is probably more important. Probably the fundamental basis that everything else hinges upon. All your sanitation hinges upon is cleaning.
Yeah, because if you haven't cleaned it, it's still got crap on it.
Right. So we still have John on the line from Five Star. He's been great helping us out here. He's our expert on cleaning and all the high-tech tools for cleaning properly.
That's right.
And we got some questions from the chat room, Justin?
We do. A couple questions came through from the chat. A lot of people hanging out today, dealing with the storm and audio problems. Thank you for that. One question that came through that I thought was a good question about cleaning products for you, John, was that someone said they use Bartender's Friend on their kettle and how great it works to clean their kettle. But he was wondering if that's safe and good for the metal, good for him. Is that an okay product to use?
Well, yeah, in my opinion, yeah. Bartender's Friend or Barkeeper's Friend is a oxalic acid based kitchen cleanser. So it's like your usual bathroom and kitchen cleansers, except that it's got a chemistry that's suited to stainless steel to brighten stainless steel, remove the oxides, and so it's very good for in terms of cleaning your stainless steel down to bare metal and letting that stainless steel repassivate itself.
Okay, and Five Star John,
I've never actually run across Bartender's Friend, but oxalic acid I can speak to. He's absolutely correct that oxalic acid is a great acid cleaner. It does a good job of removing it. It would be the safer version than using something like nitric acid to repassivate stainless. It'll do an okay job of removing hard water stains. The one thing it won't do is it will not remove or saponify any organic material.
That's right. And that's where you're depending on mechanical action with the scrubby and so on to get
correct.
That soil off there and make sure you rinse because oxalic acid is a toxic, is a toxin. It's the same toxin that exists in rhubarb.
Okay. And another question that came through, John H., you had mentioned that PBW's, the one thing it's tough on is Teflon. And someone wanted to know, what about Teflon tape? A lot of us use that at our fittings, and is that something we have to worry about also?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plain and simple, if you soak, and that's another reason not to soak it for long periods of time. If you have, say, Teflon coat, well, number one, if you're using Teflon tape, it means you got threaded stuff. And my best advice is to get away from the threaded stuff because that's an area for contamination.
If you don't take it apart and clean it.
Correct. If you don't take it apart and clean it. And even if you do take it apart and clean it, make sure you got something that's real good and you clean it and sanitize it really good because that area is very difficult to clean.
Yeah.
Even with a brush, it's hard to get into those threads.
I want to get in on this one, too. This is one of the things that drives me nuts is people go, well, you know, why do I need to take apart all my keg fittings? Oh, yeah. Anything with a thread needs to be taken completely apart, whether you're using a stainless steel fermenter, you're using a kettle with a threaded outlet, you're using kegs with the threaded posts on them.
Ball valves.
Everything needs to be taken apart. Anything with a thread needs to be completely disassembled, cleaned properly, and reassembled with fresh tape or whatever you're using.
Yeah, let me back up on that Teflon tape thing there just for just a second. John, I mean, chime in here at any time, but, you know, the problem with PBW and Teflon coatings is that the PBW is able to get underneath the Teflon and lift it off. And in the case of Teflon tape, I mean, we're not concerned about the adhesion of the tape to the fitting. The Teflon tape acts as a kind of a like a gasket to help prevent leaking, really. We're not going to injure the Teflon. We are concerned, as you say, about cleaning underneath all of that after each brew session. Is that right?
Sort of.
Okay.
I have had Teflon. Now, you could soak it, say, for 24 hours, and it's not gonna leak. That's your biggest concern with Teflon tape, is if it does break it apart, your tank leaks, right? And if you're taking it apart and putting new stuff on, you don't care. But I've had an experience where PBW has eaten Teflon, plumber's putty. It can start breaking the Teflon apart. So if you soak it in there for months at a time or even weeks, it'll slowly eat away at that Teflon tape.
Okay.
It will break it apart.
Yeah, hit the soundboard. Go ahead. Nail it.
I just wanted to let everyone... There was a moment there as John was answering a great question that the fly we've been trying to kill the whole show landed right on my mixer. And I did think about swatting it for a second, but we would have lost everything. Yeah, it would have been a gamble.
No offense. It's okay.
All right, just some more questions from the chat for you also. So you had talked before, John H., about keeping both PBW and star sand for periods of time, like in a corny keg. And you were talking about them in terms of how they affect the metal. Someone had asked, how about, you know, I keep my star sand in a sealed plastic bucket, and it's been there for about a week. Is that reusable? I mean, what do you think about those times?
Is the
This was the star sand.
The answer is it depends.
Okay.
What's the pH of the solution, and is it still clear? As long as the pH of the solution is still below 3.5, then yes, it's perfectly fine. Okay? A good indicator of what the pH is whether or not the solution turns cloudy.
Okay.
It will react with, say, heavy metals and hard water. If you used DI, distilled water, to make up your solution, then it's perfectly fine. You store it in plastic, and it will not break down, go ineffective indefinitely. I mean, I can't put a timeline on it.
Yeah, that's the way I do it. I put distilled water in a spray bottle with some star sand, and I just use that spray bottle to, you know, soak everything as I'm brewing.
Okay. All right, another question that came through from the chat is, does oxygen have negative effects on these cleansers? And I think what he was asking in specific is, if we leave the cleanser out, if we don't seal the bucket, is oxygen going to affect these things?
Are we talking cleaners?
I think
PBW
cleaners,
or star sand?
PBW. He was asking about cleaners.
PBW, the oxygen, the answer is no. Oxygen has no effect whatsoever.
Okay.
Leaving it open to the atmosphere doesn't, sealing it is probably better, but no.
Flies, small children falling in, yeah.
Well, and
yeah,
also, one of the active things in the PBW is the oxygen, right?
Yeah,
it's part of the action of the PBW. So, really, you're best off making yourself some new PBW on a regular basis, as needed basis. It's not that expensive. When you look at the cost of a batch of beer, you know, make yourself up some fresh cleaner, whatever cleaner you're using. I use PBW. It's not that expensive, you know, used in the right concentration. And, even if you want to use a slightly less concentration, use more time, very effective. And the thing is not to, don't cheat yourself on great quality beer by, trying to save yourself, 25 or 50 cents.
Yeah, don't be penny wise, pound foolish.
Yeah, you sound like
you
Ben
can
Franklin
say it. When I say it, people think I'm just trying to sell
more. Yeah,
right.
So I got to be careful, but you're absolutely correct.
Well, and you probably make most of your money from your major clients, and homebrewing is just
homebrew is a nice small little market. Right. But to be honest, we're in breweries, we're in so many other things that if a home brewer buys an extra pound of PBW in the year, it does not affect my bottom line that much.
Exactly.
But you love us anyway, right?
I mean, I'd never see it. I love it when a homebrewer calls us up and wants to buy directly from us, and it's like, go to your local homebrew store, please.
Well, and you know, and one of the things I like about you guys is you're always willing to help out with the homebrew shows and all that stuff, and be part of the community, even though I know it's a very minor part of the business, but you guys put some dedication into that, and that's really appreciated.
Yeah, especially talking chemistry with us too.
I enjoy it. I know within the company we enjoy it. We have a lot of fun, and I'll tell everyone right now, please, if you have any of these questions, feel free to email me, or you can call. I'm very.
What's your home phone number?
My wife's name.
Be careful.
But shoot me an email. You can get onto our website with fivestarchemicals.com and link into my email address is on there, and I'm more than happy to answer emails for homebrewers all the time on these types of questions, and I enjoy it, and it bothers me when I call up someone for technical advice and they pass me around and I never actually get the answer. So I love helping people out, and it's company values. We pride ourselves on just taking
excellent.
Doing the right thing.
Well, and here's a thing, though, for the listeners is, first, do a Google search, and for your basic questions, answer them yourself that way. And then when you have the more complex questions, then you send them to John, and he'll be glad to answer them for you, and I'm sure he's going to do a wonderful job answering those for you. But, show a little respect, and don't expect him to answer questions like, well, how do I open the container of PBW?
Yeah.
How much is an ounce?
Nine out of ten questions are all on the forums.
Yeah.
You guys take care of each other, and you do a fantastic job of answering the questions, and people email me the tougher ones, and then usually end up posting my response on their on the web's forums and stuff. So, but I'm not on those forums.
Okay, mark off how to open off my list. Let's see. I do have to ask this question of you, John.
Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer is how you open
works
it.
Every time. All right, I'll try that next time. All right, this one I can't resist asking. It's the hippie sissy in me. All this talk of cleansers, and John H., I want to start with you, but anybody else, of course, chime in here. All this talk of cleansers and things we're going to use to clean our equipment, but how do we dispose of it safely, John? I mean, and I'm not just worried. For example, I live near the bay, so everything I dump down the drain ends up in the bay. Sure. Others just put it in their backyard and in their garden. So can you talk to us about, and I mean not just PBW, but what about iota-4 or OxyClean and some of these other cleaners that we've talked about too? How do we get rid of them?
Iota-4, be very, very careful. Iota-4, if you're on a septic tank, you say it's going to end up in the bay. Iodine's very nasty in the environment. It's not very environmentally friendly as far as breaking down. I wouldn't recommend going and dumping it on your garden.
And chlorine's not so great either.
Not really. Yeah. Not really. It's a nasty halogen as well. The advantage chlorine has is it normally evaporates and goes into the environment. I guess that's an advantage because it destroys everyone's environment and not necessarily just your backyard.
Okay.
Chlorine is nasty as well. PBW, Star Sand are both biodegradable. They break down. They're wonderful. They're perfectly safe in septic tanks. They break down into the environment naturally. There's nothing in either one of those products that is considered non-biodegradable. They're perfectly safe. Now, should you just go and dump it on your ground? No. I think you always dilute it. High pH, low pH will affect things. But hit it with water and have no don't worry about putting PBW or Star Sand in the use concentration, okay? 1 ounce in a gallon for PBW or 1 ounce in 5 gallons for Star Sand. They just go right down the drain, and they're going to break down in the wastewater treatment facility, and actually they turn into nutrients for the bugs that break down the stuff.
Okay.
Other products like OxyClean, sodium percarbonate is what OxyClean is, and that will break down. There's, I can't think of anything in there unless they add a fragrance, and I'm not sure. Do they add a fragrance to OxyClean?
Some of them probably. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking that there might be some that you can get lemon scent or something, as opposed to just the regular.
But as you say,
I would hope that those are all biodegradable.
Yeah.
It depends on what the Chinese are doing these days. I know good friends. It was made in Greenwood Village. It was invented, and then they started making it in the Midwest. And now I think a majority of it's all made overseas.
Okay.
So, I have no clue what other ingredients they put in other than sodium carbonate and sodium percarbonate, which those two ingredients are fine in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, they occur naturally in the environment, carbonates. So,
you mentioned iota-4 being the iodine being harmful, but not a way for it not to be harmful. Is that to say that maybe we should just avoid using it, or is there a way to dispose of it properly?
Well, it says usually on most bottles, it usually says right on them that you're not allowed to pour them on the ground. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to put them in the septic tanks. And you have to call your local health department to figure out how to dispose of them properly. Now, that being said, 1 ounce and 5 gallons, 12 parts per million of iodine, realistically, everyone dumps it down the drain.
Okay.
Even the big dairies, they put them in the use solution, and then they end up putting them down the drain, and they make it someone else's problem. And I don't know if that's illegal or not. I would venture to say that at very low parts per million, you're allowed to put that down the drain.
I see.
However, is that the best thing for the environment? They're going to have to. You're going to have to get that out of the water.
Yeah.
It's not safe to drink it.
Yeah.
And so the bugs are going to have to break that down. And at low levels, I'm sure they can handle them and eat them up. But once you start getting it to high levels, those bugs are going to get into some problems. That's one of the problems with, say, quaternary ammonias.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good information, Ash. I appreciate you addressing that question for me. I think that's it, questions from the chat room and for me. But I do want to point out that back in 2006, we did have a 5-star show with Charlie Talley. One of the founders of 5-star. So if you have more questions about sanitation and other chemicals from 5-star, you can go check that out. Just go to the Sunday Session page on the website, and you can search Charlie Talley, and only one episode comes up, and that's the one. And people refer back to that all the time. So if you didn't get your questions answered here because they weren't about cleaners, check it out there. And the last thing I want to say is, if there was a word of the day today, I think it was soil load, used by our very own John Palmer. And I might, you may see soil load shirts in the store someday soon. Carry on, Phyllis.
All right. So let me summarize here. First, let me thank you, John, for joining us today and providing a lot of great information to our listeners, and also for offering to answer listeners' questions. If we didn't cover anything in depth enough, email John at 5-star, and he'll take care of you there. So I think what we came to understand today is that cleaning is the critical first step in sanitizing. If you don't clean properly,
you're not going to be able to sanitize.
You're not going to be able to sanitize, and physical means is not going to do it. You need to use some chemicals. When you do use those chemicals, personally, there's a lot of things you can use. For me, the cost of using something that's meant for brewing,
is
pretty small. I know people. Today financial times are tight, but consider using something like that. For me, that's the way I go. It's just not worth messing around.
Yeah.
Don't overuse it. Right.
Right.
Don't throw money down the drain. Don't cause a hazard. Use it in the right concentration. So John's critical tips were the T&A.
Right.
John likes the T&A. He likes the time, the temperature, the agitation.
Yep. Lots of A.
Right. Lots of A.
Small tea.
I'm more
sometimes
of a tea man myself.
Yeah. Okay.
God, you guys are worse than me. I don't know how this has come to pass. Usually I'm the troublemaker. All right, so and concentration. So, you know, proper concentration, give it enough time to work, but not excessive. Again, everything should be, you know, within 30 minutes, it's pretty much, you know, done the job. If you're going to use a lower temperature, like I do with carboys, I leave it a couple of days, and by that time, even at 60 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, everything's, you know, completely dissolved. I mean, you don't even see it anymore, all the crud that was adhered to the sides. And then you use some agitation, some good rinsing.
One prime takeaway I got was there's two aspects of cleaning, or two kinds of cleaners. You have the surfactants, and you have the, what was it, the saponificators?
Alkalis.
Alkalis. And you can... something like Dawn dishwashing is strictly a surfactant, and a surfactant allows you to get into the crevices in the material and lift out soils that wouldn't be taken out by an alkali
alone.
It's
not going to break down the soils, though,
right?
The surfactant.
But the surfactant is not going to break down the soil, right, like an alkali would.
Right.
So your best cleaner is going to be a combination of a surfactant and an alkali.
Absolutely. Yeah.
For organic soils.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a big load, you can do it twice.
Go in through the other hole.
Yeah.
Push it through the bottom until it comes out the top.
Right. Reverse flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, use some constriction on the flow so it doesn't go too fast.
That's right.
That's one of Justin's tips he's taken away.
You guys are too much.
Well,
you have it, though. You do have it.
Thanks for putting up with us.
It's been my pleasure. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We'll have to do this again sometime.
We will. I think we're going to do a show on sanitizing eventually, and we'd like to have you back. I think you'd be great to have with us.
Well, I'd love to come back and talk about sanitizing. I apologize. I sort of got off the cleaning mode and mentioned sanitizing today. But
I think the two go hand in hand,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, I want people to understand how critical cleaning is in getting things sanitized. All right.
Thank you very much, John.
That's our
Brew
Strong show for today. You know, coming up next, we're going to either be talking about malt analysis or hops. I think it's dry hopping that
right.
we're talking about next, and with our special guest, Tasty McDowell. And if you get a chance, go to the Brewing Network store. You're going to find...
fly went down the wrong way.
You're going to find Brewing Network shirts. You're going to find books. Next week, you're going to find BN glassware. And I tell you, the glassware is really sweet. You're going to want to order a bunch for yourself. What else is going on?
There's Brewing Classic Styles books.
Brewing Classic Styles books. That's
they
right.
They will be autographed by both of us.
Signed Brewing. Yeah. Now you can get them with both John Palmer and Jamil Zanishev's signatures, Brewing Classic Style. That's new. It used to just be me signing them, which, you know, that's not worth anything. You know, might as well.
But
know,
I said,
the
I'm
book
here.
And then,
you know,
and
I might as well sign something. They're going, well.
Now that John has signed them, now they're worth something. Before, they were like toilet paper. Now they're collector's items. So, get yourself to the store. If you're listening live, hang in, listen to the chat room, listen live and join in the chat room. Great chance to ask your questions and participate in the show. If you're not and you're a podcast listener, think about watching the announcements on the brewingnetwork.com and join us live anytime you get a chance. And thank you all. Brew strong.
Brew strong. Hey, let's order some...